Abolitionat.org, episode 617 coming your way. Today, we're going to do a podcast on recovering from injury with BPC-157. So, there's a lot to get to in this episode. We're going to talk about all kinds of things. We're going to talk about different injuries that Mobster and I have experienced via weight training in life in general, because, in life, shit happens. We're going to talk about a little bit of the prior podcast we did, where we did go over BP7. We're going to talk about how to use BP7. We're going to talk about what it is. And we're going to try to cover as much as we can in this podcast. So let's first start about, touch a little bit about the last one we did, which was the one prior to this one, episode 616, which you can go back and listen to. And in that one, we interviewed Mark Williams and we talked about BPC-157 and TB-500. So, Mobster, tell us a little bit about Mark and tell us a little bit about the episode we did.
Yeah, so Mark Williams, myself, and several other lifters at the local gym are all 60 plus years of age, Steve. So something that Steve's just kind of referred to as well is we're going to touch upon the way that older lifters and lifters in general, Steve, deal with the general recovery to their bodies and the little niggles that we all get if we're pushing the boundaries in the gym. And then specifically, site injuries, bicep tears, muscle strains, and so on. In Mark's case, we talked about the fact that Mark is a heck of a lifter, still pulling very, very close to, if not in excess of 600 pounds on a deadlift at 61 years of age. We talked about another fellow there. They're both running an oral version, which is a combination of BPC 157 and TB 500. And we talked about the difference in dosing for orals, which we're going to touch upon in this podcast as well, versus injectables. People get confused over whether you need to site inject TB-500 or whether it has a more generalized effect. We'll touch on that as well, and so on. In Mark's case, and Mark's specific case, and he's one of two people locally that I've looked into healing peptides and growth hormones, Mark struggles with and has done for some years now, colitis. And colitis is essentially where the immune system of your body is attacking the lower intestine. And we went into some quite gory details as to what that means and how crazy it is that Mark is still able to do, as I say, very, very close to, if not in excess of 600 pounds on a deadlift. And Mark and I talk constantly about nutritional things, growth hormone, healing peptides, and so on, specific to his particular issue. We throw ideas around, et cetera, et cetera. So there'd been a conversation, more than one conversation, involving him and other people at the local gym, again, older lifters, including myself, as to the, for example, Steve, an uptake in SARMs in the last couple of years by steroid users and his older lifters, again, most of them were on TRT. And also, does this work? Would it work for his specific medical condition and so on? So we was able to have quite a back and forth amongst ourselves. And when we brought him into the show, as you know, Stephen, listeners, I definitely recommend looking at episode 616 and having a listen. We even went a little bit back and forth in that episode because it's something we do. It's the way that we get information out there. And you're also, to a lesser degree, now kind of experimenting. So we know that BPC 157 has a great reputation, as does TB 500 amongst lifters. And I've seen, and actually mention this on the forums from time to time, the growth of the last probably 10, 15 years, Steve, from hardly seeing his healing peptides mentioned at all. And then, literally, I would say 99%. And the only reason I'm not saying 100% is because not everybody's come back and let you know how they got on. But I would say 99% that have tried these either individually or in combination, that have had injuries, that have had ongoing issues, have had some degree of success. Some it's been absolutely fucking outstanding. And they come on and they're raving, I can't believe it. What great results. Thank you for letting me know, guys. And for others, it's literally been, as we occasionally also have to say, Steve, rest, rehab, recover, and this combination of healing peptides, exactly like 157. And I would say again, 99 times out of 100, Steve, there's been some degree of success, more or less dependent upon how successful it's been, but there's always been an improvement. So yeah, absolutely amazing stuff. And this is why we're talking about it today.
Let's go over what it is first before we dig into it, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the reasons it's gotten popular over the past couple of years. Getting asked a lot about it. I got asked a lot. I'm getting asked about it by people. I'm being told by people, "Oh, some dude at the gym is using BPC. Can you tell me about it, Steve?" And I'm like, wow, you guys are really, learning about this shit. You guys are really figuring shit out. But BPC, look.
The oral one has sort of seemed to have taken off. The oral version seems to have taken off the last couple of years. So for me, that's where I'm starting to see people talk about that as well.
Let's talk about what it is. So it's called Bastric Pentadecapeptide, BPC-157. There's other names too. There's PL space 14736, and there's Body Protection Compound 157. So if you want to sound cool, you can use one of those names. You'd be like, "Hey, have you used Body Protection Compound 157? If you're out on a date with a girl or a guy or whatever, and you guys are talking about fitness, be like, "Oh, I've been using this thing called Body Protection Compound." And they'll be like, "Wow, this guy is smart, you know?" So it's also called Bepicin, BPECIN. That's another option to it. But look, what is it? It's a 15 amino acid long oligopeptide, and it was supposedly discovered during research on human gastric acid, although some people say it was discovered another way. But that's the story, and we're gonna stick to it. Look, the main acid amino acid sequence, you can look that up. It's a long scientific term. It sounds like a Polynesian name. It's like glyglu pro 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 glyce lis pro ala asp asp ala gly lu val. So you can learn that, and you'll sound even smarter if you're out on a date with someone. And look, at the end of the day, with amino acids, as Mobster said, it's in pill form. And we've seen guys like Mark, who we interviewed, have success with pill form. But if you want the best absorption, obviously, it's just like taking a vitamin. You've got to inject it. So the way, with these peptides, you basically order them, they get to you, and then you got to reconstitute them. So they're not going to send it to you as a liquid. It's going to go bad in the mail. It's going to get to you as a powder, and you got to reconstitute. So at the end of the podcast, we'll talk a little bit about that. Or maybe on the next segment, we'll talk about how to reconstitute really quick. I'll give you some thing. So look, there's been some research on it. Preclinical research has indicated that BPC-157 may have cytoprotective, neuroprotective, and anti-inflammatory effects. So, and we've seen from guys like Mark, I've used it. People on the forums have used it. They've all said, look, right away, there's changes. There's changes. There's these effects. And it may also accelerate tissue and organ healing. And that's awesome, especially for steroid users and guys like Mobster and guys, former guys like me, who used to go in the gym and go really, really heavy. And then if you're a guy like me today who doesn't train heavy anymore but still trains his balls off, that helps as well. Because how many things can accelerate tissue and organ healing? Not that many things. And then do it in this manner, something that's actually naturally found in the body. So there are some anti-aging clinics or clinics in general, even in the United States now, that are recommending. One of the guys on the forum, S. Gents, and he's a moderator. You can go on and read his logs, and he's been using BPC that he's been getting from a clinic. So if you're willing to pay the money, you're willing to find the right place, in the right state. He's in New York. And New York is a lot different than being in Kansas or Oklahoma when it comes to this stuff. Obviously, if you're in California or Nevada or Washington State or Colorado, it's going to be a lot easier to get a hold of stuff like this. You can check into that, or you can just come on our forum and you can find a legit source. We have several sources on our forum that sell legit BPC. So it's very, very important. I make this clear. That either you got to get this stuff from a legitimate clinic, or you got to get this stuff from a legitimate source. Because if you get it from your buddy at the gym, it's probably going to be fake, and who knows what you're taking. It's probably going to be not even dosed right. It could be overdose, it could be underdose. It's going to be a mess. But look, at the end of the day, you got to come on the forum and you got to get it from the right place. That's very, very important with any substance, any of these substances you're buying. Now, here's the cool thing, officer. And this is something that could be a reason why it's gained popularity in the past couple of years in the competitive realm, is that in 2022, the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, has banned it. So what guys like to do out there, in case you haven't noticed, when something gets banned,
Yeah.
that opens their eyes. They're like, wow, why are they banning
Oh,
it?
that means it works, Steve. It
Yeah.
means it works. We got to
That
have it.
means I can cheat on it, right?
Yeah.
And even if you are part of one of these places where WADA monitors you, that makes you want to use it even more and get away with it and try to figure out, hey, how can I get away? Now you're going to ask your coach, I want to take BPC, but how do I not get busted for it? Because they're going to test me for it. You see? So then that's why a lot of guys now in the competitive realm of CrossFit, weight training, bodybuilding, powerlifting, all these things are asking about it, I believe. Because anything that they ban that they don't want you to use because it's cheating, that means it works, as you said, Mobster. Go ahead.
Yeah, look, so you just said something, Steve, at the beginning of your thought process there, which was people saying just how quickly, and we mentioned on the last show on name and scissor, we've got my buddy Mark. One of the other buddies, there's a fellow called Phil Thompson, and I believe Phil is 67 or 68 years of age, just training for shape and fitness, not trying to be a bodybuilder or a weightlifter. But for whatever reason, he had a niggling shoulder injury, and again, these conversations between us older guys. And just people that are interested in using therapy to recover, and specifically peptides, steroids, and so on. Phil's on TRT. We talked about this BPC 157 and the combo with TB500. This is how quick it worked, listeners. He noticed a difference, a healing difference, less inflammation, less pain around the injury, et cetera, within 4 days. I know that Mark, because we were looking at the colitis issue, but he may notice a systemic, a generalized speeding up of recovery, less aches and pains all over his body versus obviously trying to treat the colitis issue itself specifically. And he noticed that again within 5 days. And again, you've got to remember he's got ongoing inflammation, ongoing medical issues all the time. So that probably was the reason why it took another day for Mark to start to feel better. So that's just I've seen people talk about it within 3 days, Steve. I'd say 5 days is probably the average. So, just as an example, and Steve and I have talked about this, in terms of me using particular supplements, I believe glucosamine sulfate and creatine, I will notice if I'm not using those within 2 weeks. And within 2 weeks of restarting them, I'll get back whatever I'd lost. So, for example, with glucosamine, years and years ago, if I had shoulder injuries, wear and tear, training, etc., and I stopped using it for 2 weeks, I start to feel pains in my shoulders. Within 2 weeks of using it, those pains would go away. So this is just an idea. Sometimes with steroids, Steve, and other peptides, as you know, you don't notice until you stop using, and so on and so forth. But when you've got little pains, little aches, little bit of inflammation almost constantly, it's almost like a joke, Steve, a meme that we see on Facebook, etc. Am I not meant to be in pain? And you're noticing a response, you're noticing a positive within 3 to 5 days. That's fucking awesome. And this is again why there's an increase in popularity. You're still looking at studies, and yet there's clinics. And Steve and I in the pre-show were saying we are actually seeing doctors starting to recommend this because they've seen the feedback themselves. Steve, what's to stop a doctor using it, even if it's not recommended, and feeling results for himself? So when you're getting that kind of feedback, that kind of response in yourself, even as a doctor, because they need treatment too, that's the reason we're starting to see this out there. I would be very interested, just as a side topic for another show, perhaps, precisely how WADA test for a peptide hormone like BPC 157. But that's more out of sort of a generalized interest than trying to beat the test or anything like that. Back to you, Steve.
All right, so let's talk about using BPC and what dosage to use, because you're like, well, I want to order it, but I'm not sure. And look, when you order it in the mail, it's going to come in a vial and it's going to be in powder form. So what you have to do is you have to get your back water or your sterile water, and you got to carefully reconstitute it. And to do this, you can get away with just buying Slim Pens, 29 gauge, half inch, insulin needles, and you can draw some of the backwater and gently leak it into the vial of BPC. And you're going to do the same thing with any peptide. You got to gently do it. You just don't squirt it in there aggressively where it's actually hitting the peptide. It's got to gently dribble in there. And then you got to slowly let it mix. Slowly let it mix. Make sure before and after reconstitution, always keep it in the fridge because that will keep it lasting longer. Now, after you reconstitute, you definitely have to keep it in the fridge. If you leave it out on the counter, it will go bad very, very quickly. So after you reconstitute it, you want to use that vial within 30 or 40 days. Anything after, the potency is going to get worse and worse. So you want to make sure that you are doing that. Otherwise, you're going to be wasting your time when it comes to that. I've been in situations with peptides where I've left it on the shelf, and unfortunately, it was no good. I mean, I left it out on the counter by mistake for like a day or two, and unfortunately, it's going to go bad. So you don't want to take the risk of doing that. So that would be a good way to do it. Now, with BPC, not only do you have, as Mobster said, the oral version, but you also have sources offering a spray solution. So you have that option if you don't want to deal with the mixing and injecting. And then you also have a gel option now that you would apply. And that is also another option. So it's a topical gel. So that would be something else you could consider if you don't want to wasting your time with the injection. So in those cases, you don't have to worry about mixing or anything. But in this case, at the end of the day, the dosing is going to be very similar no matter what you decide to go with. And I even see some sources now who include blends of BPC 5157 and TB500, which is
Yeah.
another healing and peptide. So that's
Let me
another.
jump in for a second. Let me jump in here for a second, Steve. So it's worth mentioning, and let me touch upon the specific dosing protocols or suggestions of protocols for the injectable, but I'll comment on what Steve just said as well. So we had a very quick look pre-show. I'm looking, for example, at one of our approved sources here, Steve, and it comes in a 5 milligram, that would be 5,000 micrograms, I believe, vial. And as Steve said, you've got Steve's suggestions in regards to preparation and keeping it active, so to speak. Typical dosing can vary, and again, you will see different numbers put out there, guys. So definitely make sure you check. We're going to give you some guidelines here now: 200 to 300 micrograms per shot. And as again, this is for the injectable version, and this approximates out to Steve 2.5 to 3.75 micrograms. Per kilo. I think that's actually slightly wrong in terms of the way that it's been written. So double check on that one for sure. Look, the reasons why there will be a difference between topical application, oral application, and injectable application comes down to a couple of factors. Number one is literally the means and methods of application. So how much is going to be absorbed and how much you want to go where you want it to go. So for example, I would argue, Steve, that probably the topical, as in the gel or cream type form, would require the highest amount of active ingredient in the gel in order for that to be absorbed through the membranes of the skin and into the body, versus oral, where of course you've got to worry about breakdown in the gut. And again, with both the, I think the topical injection would probably be more site specific, I'm going to argue, but I would be interested in users' feedback on that one. Oral will definitely be generic. So for you to, if you've got an ongoing injury, you're going to want a higher amount in the oral application, simply so that it's having a generalized systemic over your whole body effect, and then some effects on an injury if you've got one, versus in the case of BPC 157, a specific, and this would probably be my recommendation, Steve, site injecting. If you've got an injury, if you've got wear and tear, say for example, again, as we just talked about on a shoulder joint, you're going to need to inject it in or around the shoulder. You're not going to inject it into your calf and hope it gets to the shoulder, whereas you have more likely of that with regards to a topical application. And again, the combination of the TB500. In both those examples, Steve, when I've seen the oral combo as well as solo, I've seen the typical amount of BBC157 is 500 micrograms in the tablet, in the capsule. And again, this is because there's going to be breakdown, there's going to be a simulation in a different way, and you're not going to get 200 to 300 micrograms injected into the same, having the same effect, Steve, as though you'd injected it into the site or near to the site of injury. So you have to have that kind of stuff in mind. Popularity of these things is growing all the time. What we're also probably going to see more of, I'd like to see more specific studies done, Steve. There's only been a few, and yet we've seen fantastic results all around. I suspect there's already a little bit of a spread, which is why I've been a little bit vague, I guess, in terms of the dosing, only because of different users. Whereas, for example, there are certain medications that you and I talk about, certain performance enhancing drugs, certain steroids, where we can be very specific, and we can do that because we know that people have been using this steroid or that product for 50, 60, 70 years. And we know, for again, 90, 95% of the users, this is what works. In this particular case, it's slightly confusing because of the topical, oral, and injectable application. But
So,
just as an example, so yeah, go on. I was going to say 200 to 300 micrograms seems to be perfect if you're site injected, and lots of people are getting success with that product.
I would say if you have a specific injury, I would go 500 micrograms, and I would go every other day. If you have like multiple injuries, then yeah, 250 micrograms, and then spread it out that way.
It's going to come down to the severity, Steve. Let me just explain something. It's especially a little bit of information for you younger listeners. And there are a bunch of analogies that apply here. When you're younger, you recover quicker. When you're younger, small tweaks, small strains don't mean fuck all. It's gone in a couple of days. As you get more mature, as you get older, they take long to recover from. At some point, and you will have seen top-level athletes have specific injuries, bicep tears, quad tears, proper wear and tear on the shoulder joint, the elbow joint, the knee joint. And that's where site-specific high-dose injections are required versus, for example, as we say, a more generalized systemic process. Back to you, Steve, just for the rest of that part.
Yeah, so we got to get to dosing when it comes to stacking. Look, in my experience, I don't mean to be like the bearer of bad news or on this, but in my experience, using BPC solo doesn't do enough on a lot of severe, especially severe injuries without stacking it. So it could be easy for me to just sit up here and my observer sit out here and be like, oh, BPC is going to cure your torn shoulder and you're going to be able to, start lifting weights, a month later. It just doesn't work like that. And we haven't even talked about length. So with BPC, you've got to go 2, 3 months taking this stuff, especially on a severe injury. Now, here's the thing. Within the first week or two, you'll notice
Yes.
some benefits. And we talked to Mark Williams. He has the Crohn's disease. He noticed within pretty quick, within the first week, I think he mentioned that his Crohn's got better. So it's going to reduce inflammation and do some things within the first week or two. But within the injury, you've got to keep going with it. So don't be thinking, yeah, I'm just going to get one vial of this stuff, 10 milligrams. And take 500 micrograms every other day
If only.
and go through this vial and that's it. It's going to be over. So you're going to have to get a little bit of the stuff and it can get a little expensive. So here's a couple things that I would suggest you stack with BPC. One of them is TB500, and that's a stack that I ran together. And look, at the end of the day, did it cure my torn shoulder? No. Did it speed up the healing? Probably.
Yes.
But it
Yes.
also doing that concoction did other things. I was getting more endurance in the gym. I was getting more recovery in the gym. I seemed to be sleeping better on it. I had other nagging injuries throughout my body, maybe some slight elbow issues, maybe some slight wrist issues that seemed to get better. A lot of people, they don't know their body. So If you know your body well, you should notice things change in your body after 2 or 3 months, and things really speed up the healing process. But at the end of the day, if you're going to take this stuff and you think you're going to go to the gym and just throw around heavy weights like a gorilla, you're out of your mind to heal an injury. You've got to work around your injury. You got to take some time off. You got to let these peptides work. So TB500, you can stack with it. You don't you can basically what you can do is inject the TB500 anywhere. A lot of people like to just inject it in their stomach fat and you're good to go. So that would work good. TB500, you want to go through 5 or 10 milligrams per week. So you want to split it like 2, 3 times a week and then just run it. And then over time, when it comes to BPC and TB500, you can gradually lower the dose. So there's a loading phase dose and there's a maintenance phase dose. So if you're going to go 300 to 500 micrograms on the BPC and you're going to go 5 to 10 milligrams a week of the TB500 total, after about a month or even 3 weeks, you can cut those dosing in half. And then after another month, you can cut the dosing in half and so on. So you go through a loading phase and then a maintenance phase, and then you can start taking them less frequently. So instead of taking the BPC every other day, you can take the BPC 2 or 3 times a week. And the same thing with the TB500. Instead of taking it 2 or 3 times a week, you could take it once or twice a week, and then down to once a week, and so on. And that's how you would use now. Now another thing that a lot of people like to stack with BPC as well is Ostarine, which is MK-2866. And that is a SARM, selective androgen receptor modulator. And you can run anywhere from 12.5 milligrams up to 50 milligrams if you're a male. If you're a female, you'd run half that dose and you get effective results on that. That would be a good stack. And then the last one is growth hormone. So with growth hormone, you want to run anywhere from 1 IU to 2 IUs for this type of recovery and repair. You don't want to run anything more. And then with the growth hormone, with the Ostarine, it's taken orally. And then with the growth hormone, it is also a peptide that you're going to have to reconstitute. But with the growth hormone, it's not site injected. So you can inject it anywhere. Usually people inject it in the stomach fat. So those are the main ways to do it. I highly recommend stacking it if you can, especially if you really want to go all in and get a good result from it. That would be a really, really good option. Go ahead, Mouser.
Let me give you some final thoughts here, guys. Listen, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, Stephen. I'm including myself and yourself. There have been times when we have just pounded the fuck away doing stupid shit because we were obsessed with getting some huge weight or bigger muscle or whatever else, and we were in discomfort. We had pain. This is without severe ongoing muscle tears, bulging disc or whatever else. And there's been a sort of, it's kind of common sense. And sometimes you need to be told by a buddy. If you're supposed to rest, rest. If you're supposed to rehab, rehab. If you're supposed to recover, recover. You can't take products like TB500 or BBC157 or growth hormone and keep doing stupid shit. If, for example, you had a torn bicep, you're not going to go out and cold 200 pounds and expect to heal, even though you're using TB157. So sometimes the biggest thing to do is to take a step back and just allow for full recovery, rehab, et cetera. Go off and do what you got to do. Realize this is a temporary blip, something you need to fix. Obviously, you come to listen to this show, if you've done your research. You're looking for healing peptides as well. But sometimes, Steve, the hardest thing to do is to stop doing that thing which has hurt you. But you've got to do that sometimes. There's a million other exercises you can do. There's always another workout in the future. If it's 3 months, stop bicep curling, then 3 months, stop bicep curling, guys. It's only out of the rest of your life. 3 months is nothing. It's like a second on a clock in a day. It's fuck all, Steve. So you've got to do that. I would be interested. For our purposes, Steve, for better shows in the future, healing on protocols you guys have run. Definitely come onto the forums and let us know protocols you've tried, suggestions of dosing, et cetera. I'd like to get that nailed down to something that's really good for the majority of our listeners. 90% could use this dosage. We do see a little bit of variety there, and I'd like to have a good sort of solid recommendation on that, and that'll come from listening to you, the listeners, and seeing what you think. Let us know, guys. Please note, we are not doctors and opinions are ours. It is our view and based our experience and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.